she has worked with you. You have imparted so much in her. And we are just privileged to receive from the wisdom, the anointing, and the fire that you've set in her heart. So we pray, Lord, that she will just be your mouthpiece this morning, and we just get to be brought to repentance and encouragement and upliftment, and also to a place of deep intimacy with you. We praise you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sam. It's really been such a... It's been such a privilege and honor to come to know you guys. And we've known Talent and Seeker for quite a while, and Zoe and the other little one on its way. And we love them as a family. So thank you. Thank you for having us here. I just had such a sense in the prayer time, and I want to submit it to leadership, and there is such a well of His presence in this place, and the Lord is asking you guys to dig. Dig, 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 because there's something so rich in this place, and I'm talking about in this body, in this church. So continue to dig the well of His presence. I have a special place in my heart for Boston, because I went to Boston Primary School as a child. So I love this area. In fact, this is one of the areas we were looking at buying in when we came back from the US. But we landed up a bit closer to our church in La Rochelle. But I want to just say that Boston is on God's heart. This region is really on God's heart. I just even feel like crying when I think about Boston, because Boston is rich with beautiful people. Beautiful people that need you guys to reach out and touch them with the love of Jesus. They are just waiting for you guys to go out there and give to them what you have. So I want to really encourage you. God hasn't planted you in this area just because it's a nice area. There's a plan and purpose for you guys being planted, and for this church being planted here, because He wants to bear much fruit in this era. So, okay, so you're doing a series of prayer, and prayer is such an exciting topic, right? Okay, so many times when you hear the word prayer, we get a bit nervous. As Christians, I think, because we think, oh no, I'm not praying enough, right? We immediately go into condemnation, because we all think we could be praying so much more. So I must admit, when I was preparing, I'm like, oh Lord, I need to be praying more. When you get into the Word and you hear about how much we should be praying, and then you go and read about the prayer guys of old, E.M. Bounds and all of these guys, and it's like, they prayed so much. They prayed so much. And I feel like in the times we're living in, the Bible is so clear, saying to us, pray, stay alert, for the time is drawing near. Be watchful. Be prayerful. But guess what? At the same time, I feel like we are the most distracted people that has ever been. Guys, how many of you struggle to put your phones down? Let's just be honest. Okay, the rest of you, I know you're lying. I'm joking. Okay, we even struggle to put these phones down. And even when we're having our times with the Lord, we sometimes can't wait to get over our times with the Lord so we can check if we got any messages on our phone. Huh? Or check if any of our Facebook posts was liked. Or the Instagram, if that special lady looked at your Instagram post. For all the singles out there. I have daughters. Okay. Anyway, and I think so at this moment in time, the call on the church is to pray. And praying is really such a discipline. You know, Richard Foster wrote this, the spiritual disciplines, right? Sorry, the celebration of discipline. And that is such a key book, and prayer is one of these disciplines. There's no ways you can get out of prayer. I'll tell you that now. After just being in this Word again and seeing all the scriptures about prayers, there's no way you can live a Christian life and not be praying. It's just impossible. And I'm gonna touch on the prayerlessness part afterwards. And we're going to pray for you today. And we're going to trust that God's going to break something over you. Because the enemy really doesn't want you to pray. Because there is so much power in prayer. And even more so when a body comes together and prays. Okay, so it's so key. So prayer is really just a relationship with the Lord. So prayer means that you talk to Him and He talks back. And so we've made prayer very complicated. And very, almost like it's for those selected, the prayer ladies, you know, in the church, they will pray. They pray for the church. The rest of us just, you know, we're busy. We've got things to do. We can't just pray the whole day. I'm not asking you to pray the whole day. But the Bible tells us on all occasions, in every moment, pray. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you can pray in tongues, and I believe this is a tongue-praying church, then the Bible says you can be praying all the time. Do you know you can pray under your breath in the Spirit? I remember, just as an example, my daughter did nationals gymnastics when we were here in Cape Town. And the Lord just said to me, pray in the Spirit. I prayed in the Spirit throughout our whole routine. And I'm telling you, she came top of everything. And you know what? Was it the prayer? I think so. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe she's just good. But the Lord spoke to me very clearly. There's certain things that are not going to happen if you don't pray. Do you understand that? I get sort of quite sad about that, to be honest. And I can go into this whole guilt thingy. Because I just realized how much more would have happened had I prayed. Had I come before the Lord and prayed. But let's not get into guilt because we don't have time for guilt. Amen? Or shame. That's not going to get you anywhere. You need to get up, take up that baton of prayer and begin to pray again. Pray for your family. Pray for your leaders. It's so essential. So, obviously, here's a quote that I got. I thought this was so good. The prayerful are humble, and the humble delight to pray. If humility had a sound, it would be the voice of prayer. If humility had a sound, it would be the voice of prayer. Why? Because when we pray, we're saying, you know what, God? I can't do this. You prayed it this morning when you know, you were like, we can't. If God doesn't do stuff, we're a mess. Everything's a mess. And by praying is saying, you know what, Lord? I cannot do this. So I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to pray and ask you to help me. And that's really what it is. But when we become proud, then you will become prayerless. Because you know what? You don't need God. You know how to do this. You know how to do life. And maybe if there's a emergency, you know, now someone phones you, your mother's sick, now all of a sudden we want to be turn on the prayer switch because there's an emergency or need. No. We were created to pray on all occasions, all the time, filled with prayer, so that we're ready all the time. And you know what? Sometimes it sounds like a lot of work. Right. It's not. In fact, when you pray, and especially when you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up. It builds you in a man. You're going to find that you're going to live in overflow and overflow and overflow and overflow because there's so much coming out of you. And right now, most of us feel like we've got no more time to give anyone because we are drained. Amen? We are beyond tired because, Okay. Okay, so the key for prayer is to connect with God. And when we pray in a place of disconnection with God, that's what religious prayer looks like. So people can pray. I mean, the Muslims are faithful to pray. I drove there past Panorama, past that mosque. I was astounded. Have you guys seen the big mosque in Panorama? And the cars, guys, 3 o'clock on a Friday. They were almost to the Panorama Mediclinic, the cars. They are praying. They are faithful in their prayers, but they're so disconnected. Now we have been brought close in by the blood of the Lamb to the very presence, open access. Guess what we're doing on a Friday at 3 o'clock? I don't know. What are you doing on a Friday at 3 o'clock? I don't think we're praying. I don't know. You know, in the temple in Acts, Peter and John, you know the famous story? Peter and John and the crippled man. You know, it says that in the afternoon, it was the hour of prayer. They were on their way to the temple to do what? To pray. It's part of our inheritance as Christians, as believers. And we need to pick that up again. As churches, guys, let's get together. 7 o'clock on a Friday, let's pray. There they did it in the office. Just simply, come, let's pray. It doesn't take a lot to just say, come, let's pray. Because we know it's the right thing to do. It's the godly thing to do. And when we come together and pray, as I said, it is so, so powerful. We had I don't know the time at all here. Sam, can you just, no, you can't. Just give me like a 5-minute countdown when I need to end, okay? Right. We had the beautiful pleasure of going to the U.S. for 18 months. And it was a crazy faith journey. And we'd met the pastor online, a Zoom, and we just connected hearts with the pastor. We'd never been to the church. And then we decided we are going to follow the Lord and basically sell our house, give all our stuff away, and move with our 4 children to the U.S. and not look back. And that's what we did. So it was over COVID, and it took us another year, and it was crazy. And anyway, we arrived in the U.S. with 12 suitcases. That was it. Not knowing where we were going to stay. Okay, but that's another story. But the main purpose, or their main thing, is prayer. They are known as a prayer church. And so everything is centered around the prayer. And it was such a privilege and honor for us to go and just sit and be part of a church like that. We had always been part of churches like Shofar. We were in His people, every nation. You know, we are so good at the doing. We get things done. We missions. We go for it. But it's also so good to go to the other side a little bit and sit and just be part of the prayer movement and just see what else is going on. And this church is called to pray and to worship. And that's what they do. And they do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's what they do. When we left, it was like 8 till 2 every day. So you can come, actually 6. So the working people, 6 till 2. You can come any time of the day. They had the privilege of having a building. Lord, we're trusting you for a building, for Shofar Boston, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So they could come to the church and pray. And it was such a powerful place to just come and be. Because we're so busy doing. We're so good at the doing. But praying, so much goes with going. And I think some part of us is go, 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 but we've forgotten to pray. And we were in the prayer church for 18 months, but then we got a bit itchy. And then we knew, okay, we've got the prayer, but we've got to get on with the going now. With the getting out of the church, because that is our heart. And we were there for 18 months, and yeah, and then we left, and we came back. Now we're back into the going, but the Lord really placed on our hearts to start a prayer room at the church that we're at now. And that's why I'm saying it doesn't take much just to say, guys, we do it every second Wednesday night. We're going to come to church, and we're just going to pray. And we've had Sam, and we worship, and we pray. There's no agenda. People so much want me to come. Okay, Jackie, what are the... No. We are just in the presence of the Lord, and it's amazing how God will just bring stuff up for our nation, for our city, for our church, for our families. He just brings these things up and we pray. And it's just so powerful. Okay, Jesus was a beautiful model of prayer for us, wasn't he? Okay, so even when Jesus, and I've never read this, but you know when Jesus was baptized, it says that he prayed, you know, by John the Baptist, he was baptized, you know that picture of him standing, and it says he prayed and the heavens opened. And you know, the Lord said, this is my son who I'm well pleased with. But he even prayed in that while he was being baptized. He was praying. That was just so beautiful for me. In Luke, it says he would go up to the mountain and pray. Early in the morning, he would go and pray. All through the night, he would pray. Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. This is Jesus, okay? Do you think Jesus needed to pray? Answer me. Through the night. Didn't he just have such this divine access that he could just quickly talk and hear and then he could quickly go back and sleep? You know what? Prayer wasn't about that. This is where we've got it wrong. He was fellowshipping with his Father. And that just looked like prayer, the way we name it today. So sometimes the word prayer gets us off course. But prayer is just having fellowship. Us talking to him and he talking back to us. So if Jesus needed to do it, wow, what a privilege we have to do it as well. And of course, Jesus prayed in his greatest time of pain. Now, often when we go through our greatest time of pain, that's the last thing we want to do, right? Is pray. Why? We're angry with God. We're offended with God. We hurt. The pain is so real inside of us. We're frustrated. We want to go to other things to help us cope, right? We don't want to come humbly before Jesus and Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm in so much pain now. I don't actually feel like speaking to you. I'm so angry. But guess what? When we are real with him like that, and then we do pray, and we say, Lord, help us, he is so there. He's so there for us. And in Jesus' greatest time of pain, I believe, was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, and he was anxious. You know, he was sweating blood, okay? If any of you have been so anxious that blood, it's coming out of you, your sweating and your anxiety. I don't think so. But that's where he was. And he said, Father, if you can take this cup from me. And then the beautiful prayer of consecration surrender was, not my will, but yours. And that is complete humility. That is utter, utter humility. Where he faced his greatest turmoil, and yet he chose to still come under surrender and pray that beautiful prayer in the garden. The prayer that Jesus did ask us to pray, as you all know, was the Lord's Prayer, okay? And we grew up praying it, right? We had to pray it in school. Anyone in my age group that prayed it? I don't think they prayed in schools anymore, probably not. Anyone know? I don't know. Maybe they do. And there's so much in there. I don't want to unpack it all now. But if you go through line for line, start there. Our Father art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Such powerful prayers. That also has become so religious. Can you see what the enemy does? We just say it. Our Father art in heaven. You must hear the kids. You know, just say it. Do you know what you're praying? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What does that look like for you in your workplace? What does your kingdom come? Your will be done on your campus. What does that look like? You're praying it. You're declaring it. What does it look like? Does that prayer have power in your life? If you believe it and you declare it, yes, it will. But if you just say it off religiously and there's no connection, it loses its power. And why? We don't want to walk around powerless. We want to see God move. Amen. We want to see God move. So let's pray these prayers that Jesus told us to pray. I mean, he said, this is how you should pray. And he gave us basic, simple steps that anyone can understand. That's what I love about Jesus. Jesus is not complicated in that sense. He just gives us what to do if we would just do it. There is also so much power in groups. That's why I say just grab someone. We used to have prayer friends. Do you have people in your life that you can reach out to and say, please pray with me? He's shaking his head. Can you pray with me? Grab someone. Please pray with me. Jesus says, if any of the two of you agree concerning anything on this earth, guess what? It will be. Guys, do you know your Bible? Oh, Rabbi Shanda, next series is Bible, eh? Learning the verses. Okay, so guys, do you not know what the scripture means? Can you see? If two or three agree upon anything on this earth, so it shall be done. This is powerful promises that we need to know off by heart and do it. If you look at the book of Acts, you see prayer is mentioned 29 times in the book of Acts. And who loves the book of Acts? Please go and read the book of Acts. Acts is one of the most exciting books because it's Acts. It's actions. So everything Jesus taught in the gospel, they then and did it themselves, which is very exciting. And that's what we get to do. We should be doing Acts now. Amen? If we just did half of the book of Acts, this world would be turned upside down. So Acts, if you go through Acts, everywhere you see they prayed, they prayed, they prayed, they prayed, they prayed, they prayed. Prayer covers the book of Acts, and that's the way it was meant to be. You pray and you go. The upper room, they gathered to pray. They prayed for the Holy Spirit. They didn't stay there. They went out. And they preached the gospel. Many were saved. And then they would come together and they would pray again together. They'd pray for boldness and confidence. And then they would go out. And that was the pattern. So beautiful. So beautiful. And we get to do that too. Okay. So the heartfelt, persistent prayer of a righteous man or woman can accomplish much. This is the Amplified Version. When put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and it can have tremendous power. Now, who doesn't want to live without that power? That's what's available. We have been made righteous. Amen? Do you agree with me? We have been made righteous. So you are righteous. So the Bible says the heartfelt. And that means when you pray, you mean it. And persistent prayer. Persistent prayer means you don't just pray on a Sunday when Sam leads you in a prayer. And that was your prayer for the week. That is not the prayer that's going to cause much power. Okay? The effective, persistent prayer is that you are praying all the time. You're praying. You're praying for that thing again and again. You're praying. You're going after it because you believe that one day that miracle is going to happen. Just like Elijah prayed for the rain. He prayed and he prayed until he saw the rain and the rain came down. It's that persistent prayer. Do you know that Jesus is our great intercessor? Do you know that Jesus is praying for us right now? Okay, how beautiful is that? He is the great intercessor. So he's still praying. Right now it says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's interceding for us. So Jesus hasn't stopped praying. Jesus hasn't stopped praying. He's still praying for us. So who do we pray for? What do we pray for? There's so many areas that need prayer. Just think of all your little compartments that you have in your life. Just think about all those areas, okay? You've got yourself, then you've got your family, then you've got your work, your career, then you've got your church, you've got your city, you've got your nation, okay? So that's more or less the sphere of influence that you have. So have you applied prayer into all of those spheres of your lives? Are you applying prayer? Or are you just doing it? So what does a prayer-covered family look like? What does a prayer-covered workplace look like? What does a prayer-covered church look like? Prayer-covered nation look like. That is the role that you get to have. And the Bible tells us, pray for those who are in authority. Pray. Don't complain, because I hear a lot of complaining. A lot of complaining. A lot of complaining in church too. But when last have you prayed for your pastors? When last have you prayed for your leaders? When last have you prayed for your government? Even though this, 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 and the other. But they corrupt, but they pray for those who are in authority. Pray for yourself. Do you know that it's important to pray for yourself too? The Bible says David strengthened himself in the Lord. He prayed. The Bible says, pray that you will be built up in your most holy faith in Jude. Built up in your most holy faith. That's praying, praying, praying in the Spirit, praying on all occasions. It's so, so key. Your families, guys, I don't know about your family, but it's really a thorn in our flesh. Some family members. Okay? Anyone have a thorn of a flesh of a family member? The challenging ones. And the rest of you have got wonderful families, obviously. No problems. Okay? Sam is lifting his hand up very high there. Because family knows you and family is familiar. And so family don't care how they treat you often. Okay? They just say what they say. And we need to really pray for our families. Especially those who are unbelievers. Because we don't want them one day to say to us, but you didn't tell me, you didn't warn me. We need to be faithful to pray for their salvation. Prayer is one of the most humblest postures a person can take. And the opposite is also true. Prayerlessness is pridefulness. Prayerlessness is pridefulness. Prayerlessness is a declaration of our independence from God. That was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. That was an owie. Prayerlessness is a declaration of our independence from the Lord. Okay? The price of prayerlessness far exceeds the price of prayer. And there is a price to pray, to pay to pray. I'm not going to kid you. It is very hard when you get home from work and you want to watch something on YouTube because you've done your work, you're tired. The last thing you want to do is pray, right? There's a price to switch off the TV or the computer and say, you know what? I'm going to go and pray now. It's not easy. But Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet, close the door, do it in secret. And what you do in secret, I love this, the Father will reward you in the open. And prayer comes with rewards. I promise you, you will be rewarded when you pray and when you decide to pray. And for all the parents out there, it's so key as well, spending time with the Lord in prayer to be an example. So they can see when something happens in our family, mom and dad, they go and pray. They don't phone every person and find out, what must we do, what must we do, what must we do? In a frantic place. Mom and dad, they go into the room, they close the door, and they pray. And they give it to the Lord. The Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Do not worry about anything. How hard does that seem sometimes? Instead, pray about everything. And I've tested the Lord in 3 times now where something happened and I was so anxious. Like, you know that feeling that comes up and you're so anxious when something happens. Like, you know, you have cancer or you know something hectic and you feel it. And literally for you to, and I said, okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, God, that you'd fix this solution right now. It was so hard to get the words out. But guess what? Within seconds, the Lord changed the situation around. Literally. And I was literally saying in my head, okay, Lord, you tell me to do this and it's so hard, but you better show up here. Please show me that this is real. And I did it 3 times and he did. Literally changed the situation around. And it was also small little things. But he changed it. It's so key. So prayer requires time, undivided attention, and a tender heart. Are you putting your hand up? Are you just agreeing? Okay. Time. How much time does God have of yours? We speak about tithing a lot. A tenth of your finances to the Lord, right? We know it. We know all the scriptures. How much of your time has God got? How much time has your cell phone got? Your iPhone or whatever. How much time do your kids have? And I'm saying it because a lot of us have made our kids an idol because we run around all the way for them to do all the things for them that we have no time to just pray. There's a balance, okay? Your kids are important, but they aren't more important than Jesus and time. So you need to work your time out. Just relook at your time management. And probably all of us need to repent in that area. Undivided attention. So when you come to that prayer place, I know a lot of times people say, Jackie, I can't focus. Any of you have that problem? Like you can't focus because you know why? You're always everywhere. And so you have to literally, what I'd say is just put on 2 worship songs. And soaking gentle worship songs. And just sit still and just say, Lord, help me. Help me, give me your peace and help me to focus on you. You just listen to those 2 worship songs and normally after those 2, you're in a much better place. And then you can just start pray what you feel in your heart you need to pray. And the last one is something that I really want us to minister into now. I've asked Sam if there's a ministry team, and he said there was. And that's a tender heart. So this is actually where the tacky hits the tar. Because if your heart is hardened, if your heart is callous, if your heart is hurting and offended, you're probably not praying a lot. And God wants to go after your heart because he wants you to connect with him firstly. There's no ways you can do this if you're disconnected with him. No ways. Or let me say you can do it and you'll just be like the Muslims down the street praying. Same thing. No difference. Jesus said, with their lips, they draw near to me with what they say, but their hearts are far from me. And you can't fool God. You can't fool God. He knows exactly the state of your heart. And so he really wants to minister to you this morning. And so, could you maybe come and just play something on the guitar? Thank you. Yeah, if that's you, I love being vulnerable. Vulnerability has really brought me far, I must admit that. Okay? If you want to get anywhere with Jesus, you've got to be real with him. You can't live behind a mask or a wall. And I don't care who you are here, to be honest. You can be the leader of leaders. It does not matter. But I want this to become like an altar of repentance here in the front. I want you to feel free to come and just to be able to come before the Lord firstly, before the ministry team can come up. But I just want them to be sensitive to what the Lord is doing. Because it's only the Lord that can tenderize our hearts, right? And so I'm going to say a prayer. And then if that's you, I want you to be bold enough to come up here and say, Lord, I don't like where I'm at. I really want to be a man or woman of prayer, and I want to be a man and woman who's connected with your heart, because I know in you lies all good things. Outside of you, there's nothing good. I want to become completely dependent on you. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to come. Jesus, just like you said in your word, that you're standing at the door and you're knocking at the door of our hearts, and you're asking, can I come in? Will you let me in? Will you trust me again? Lord, I pray for every person right now whose heart has become hardened due to discouragement, disappointments, hurt, pain, offense. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and supernaturally draw them by the power of your Holy Spirit. You would draw them back to yourself. You would call them back to yourself. You would call them back to the first love. The first love, Jesus, our first love. Lord, that we would lay down our pride. We would lay down our agendas. We would lay down what we think we can do. And we will lay down just the pride of life that we've picked up along the way. And we would humble ourselves before you, Lord Jesus, and say, Lord, we don't want to go another day without you. We don't want to have another day being disconnected and far from you. Lord, we want to come home. We want to come back to you. We belong to you, Jesus. And so, Father, forgive us. Forgive us for pushing you away. Forgive us for acting like everything's okay when it's really not. Jesus, we just want to commit our hearts to you once again. if that's you, I want you to come to the front because I feel like this needs a response. Jesus needs your response. He needs a response from you. He needs you to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want you. I want more of you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to be back at that place again where you are my everything. You are my everything. Become my everything, Jesus. I need you. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you, Jesus.
And really receive from Christ what He has for you by His Spirit. Lord, we receive what You have for us today. Ezekiel 36 says, I will give you a heart of flesh for your heart of stone, and I will put my Spirit within you. Father, so we just give your heart this morning. Come and give us your desires. Come and stir in us the burdens on your heart. And stir in us, Almighty God, to pursue you and pursue intimacy with you. As your word says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. But Lord, as we begin to delight in you, the desires that you give us are truly the desires of your heart that you place on our heart. So God, I pray that this week as well as we go, you will continue to minister to us and bring to the surface everything in our hearts that is making us oblivious to the move of the Holy Spirit. That in the place of prayer, you will begin to recalibrate us and bring us back into alignment with your will, your vision, and your desires for us, for our families, for our children, for our careers, and for your church overall. Thank you this morning that you were so present. Thank you for encountering us and meeting us right where we are at. Thank you that you are not a distant God. You are a God who wants to walk with us each and every day. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you for what you are doing in Shofar, Boston. We thank you for what you are doing in the Boston community. We thank you for what you are doing in the body of Christ. And we believe that this is only the beginning of us rising as a powerful army behind Jesus, reaching people and reaching nations for the glory of your name. Be glorified, O God, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, and make his face shine upon you. Amen. Thank you for the service. You're welcome to hang out and have some coffee. And if you still need some prayer, there's going to be a few elders and ministry leaders in front to pray with you or for you.